The Navigators is an international, interdenominational Christian organization whose objective is to help fulfill Christ's commission to make disciples of all nations. They individually teach the basics of the Christian life to new believers, who then teach others. They work on campuses, military bases, and among lay men and women on every continent.
The three fundamental roles of leadership, as we see in the Scripture, are servant, steward, and shepherd. And all of these relate to God, His purposes, and His people. And each one. And though these fundamentals overlap, they do focus on a particular aspect of leadership. The servant spotlights obedience to God's person. I am a servant of God. I trust Him. I obey Him. The second, the steward, emphasizes faithfulness in God's mission. And the third, shepherd, highlights a care for God's people. Now, the skillful, mature leader persistently obeys God. He wisely uses his resources to accomplish God's purposes. And he carefully nurtures the people God has provided. Now, these three leadership roles should function harmoniously to produce distinctive biblical leadership. These roles oftentimes exist in dynamic tension and oftentimes competitive. What do I do when here is the task and there's a conflict in accomplishing the task and helping this person? And God's leaders are completely dependent on the Holy Spirit to guide them through each particular leadership situation. This is why we must be men filled and controlled and led by the Holy Spirit. There are no pat answers. But as we seek to serve Him, to be a faithful steward and a loving shepherd, the Holy Spirit will put it together for us in various leadership situations. Today, I would like us to look primarily at the shepherd leader. I'll give you a couple definitions here of shepherd. In the Webster's Dictionary, a shepherd is defined as one charged with religious care and guidance of others. Now, the Hebrew word raah, R-A-A-H, and the Greek word poimeno, P-O-I-M-E-N-O, basically are defined to have the same meaning. There's the one who pastures, tends domestic animals. That's basically the meaning of these two words. One who just pastures and tends domestic animals. And then there's the figurative role, which this describes in the Scriptures. One who leads, teaches, cares for people. And we see this figurative definition, the one who leads, teaches, and cares for God's people. We see this described with prophets and priests and rulers, apostles, elders in the local church. Now, I'd like us to, first of all, just look into the word here on the examples of shepherd. God is our shepherd. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And leadership basically should find itself in the person and qualities and characteristics and activities of God Himself, for He is our leader. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And this psalm is centered first on the Lord Himself and then on the sheep. And He makes His sheep to lie down in green pastures. It is not basically task-oriented, it's sheep-oriented. They're to relax, to rest, to feed on His provision. He leadeth me beside the still waters for spiritual refreshment. He restoreth my soul, spiritual renewal. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He leadeth me. God is going to lead us. And one of the things that helps me as I meditate on the Lord as my shepherd, and I meditate on the fact that I am a sheep. And when I meditate on the fact that I'm a sheep, I can rest and I can relax. Doug, sometimes you try to be more than you really are. Or, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. And all of this is centered in the sheep and what's good for them, what nourishes them. Or we go over to John 10:10. I have come that ye might have life and have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Christ gives his life that we might have life more abundantly. And his focus here is on the abundant life of that sheep. Or we go over to Hebrews 13:20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight. See where the focus is? On the good shepherd. That great shepherd of the sheep, working in you, producing that which is well-pleasing in His sight, making you perfect unto every good work. The focus is on the sheep and the shepherd. We're under shepherds. We have been made by the Holy Spirit overseers of the flock of God. Psalm 77:20. Thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Thou leddest thy people by the hand of Moses the prophet and Aaron the priest. And may that be said of us as under shepherds, that God is leading the people under us. But we are channels only by our hand. We're channels under shepherds. They're His flock. He's doing the work, but we're the channel, the vessel. That's the way it is in being an under shepherd. Or we flip over to Psalm 78:70-72. I think some of the finest verses in Scripture on the subject of shepherd leadership. He chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds, from following the ewes, great with young. He brought them to feed Jacob his people and Israel his inheritance. And God saw David there caring for those sheep, and He said, oh, if I had someone who would care for my people like that. And He chose David to be king. Because the concept throughout the Bible of leading God's people is the concept of a shepherd. And he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. One of our task forces, as they studied and worked on this subject of shepherd leadership, wrote papers on it. They said, you know, I think what we need is a greater emphasis, not just on the skills of leadership, but on the godly character of leadership. That was one of their recommendations to us from their study, both of the scriptures and as they looked at the NAV leadership. Other examples, John 21, Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. The apostles were to be shepherds. Acts 20:28, the elders, take heed of yourselves and of the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. In our study, we have come and taken the position, at this point at least, that shepherding is a universal and spiritual leadership. Now, there are those who would say, we've talked to some Christian leaders outside the NAVs, they'd say, no, shepherding is more limited than that. A manager does not need to be a shepherd. And so this is one of these things we're grappling with. But our position at this time is this, that shepherding is a leader's responsibility. If you are leading God's people, you have the responsibility to shepherd. Now, you may delegate much of that shepherding out to a local pastor, but in your area of responsibility in leading some of God's people, you have the responsibility as an under-shepherd. Now, the shepherding responsibilities I've written up there, they're to guide, to nurture, to protect, and to care for needs. Passage on guiding is Numbers 27, 16 and 17. Moses, verse 15, spoke unto the Lord, saying, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. And to guide, to lead God's people, to lead them out, to bring them in, shepherd leadership involves influencing. It involves motivating. It involves modeling. But it also involves counseling, exhorting, correcting, and even disciplining. The shepherd leads. He leads as a servant, but he leads. I'd like you to flip over to 1 Peter chapter 5. And I'd like us to look at how Peter led leaders. Now, Peter is writing here to the elders in this passage. How does he relate to these elders? Some of you are leading staff or will be leading staff. Or you're leading team members who have their own ministry. And in a sense, they're leaders in their own right. How do we work with leaders? Now, there are a few things I'd like to share here. First of all, his relationship to these elders. And secondly, I want us to look at his leadership of the elders. But first, his relationship. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder. Now, Peter's saying here, He's not coming to them and saying, now I'm one of the apostles. He says, I'm just a fellow elder. I'm one of you fellas. We're together in this. He is establishing not a vertical relationship with these elders. He is establishing a horizontal relationship. And this is key, men, in leadership. We must have more than just a vertical relationship. We must establish a horizontal one. We are sheep as they are sheep. Though I may lead someone, he is my brother and I'm a brother. We have a horizontal relationship. And this is important to establish, as well as the vertical one. In fact, he doesn't even refer to the vertical one here in this whole passage. It's totally horizontal. This is the way he's relating and communicating. Horizontally. I think Peter must have had clearly in mind what Jesus taught him in Matthew 23. And I'm sure Peter just personally applied this. He said, but be not called rabbi, teacher, leader, master. For one is your master, even Christ, and ye your brethren. And you'll see as we get into this passage, the whole leadership emphasis to these elders is Christ is the chief shepherd. Christ is going to appear. We are his servants. He is our leader. And that's Peter's emphasis. And it goes on here, neither be ye called masters or leaders, for one is your master, even Christ. And that emphasis we'll find in this passage. It's interesting that here Peter is accepting these elders as equals. And he is showing them respect for their maturity, their experience, and their gifts. Now let's look at 1 Peter 5. A witness of the sufferings of Christ. Now I don't know if Peter is trying to bring in some prestige here. But if he is, it's not based on his position, but on his experience with Jesus Christ. I was a witness of Jesus Christ's sufferings. And when he says that, what is he referring to as far as he himself is concerned? He's saying, I witnessed his sufferings, and everyone knows this was my greatest failure. I denied the Lord 3 times. Now, if it were me, I would be talking about Pentecost if I were Peter. You know? I spoke, thousands believed. I'm the anointed one, the anointed leader. But he didn't. He didn't refer to that. Simply to the sufferings of Christ. His leadership style? Well, he says, I exhort, or one translation says, I beseech, or I appeal to you elders in verse 1. And then he goes on in verse 2 from a position of exhortation or appeal to a position of teaching. He's teaching them. And he's teaching them the simple basic truths of shepherd leadership. The heart of the issue. The practical do's and don'ts. He's getting right down to where the rubber hits the road. Right where they live. And where they lead. How not to lead. And how to lead. And he says, now you take the oversight. You take the leadership, and this is how you do it. Not by constraint, not because you have to, you must, but willingly, wholeheartedly, enthusiastically. I think of one country, national leader, and he was doing it because he must. Boy, we've got to, you know, get more basic disciples, more disciple makers, more LDMs, more staff. And he was under the burden. Ooh, I've got to grind this out. And everybody was trying to grind it out. And there was no joy. And there was little fruit. And everyone was discouraged. Ooh, I must do this. And just an hour's plane ride away, another country, another national leader. Boy, Doug, our people are so enthusiastic about this. And I knew why they were so enthusiastic about this. Because he was so enthusiastic about this. Boy, what a wonderful thing to get out and witness and to make disciples, to be part of the Great Commission. And then he goes on to say, another don't, and then another do. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Or another translation, eager to serve. Not for gain. Maybe it's not the gain of money, be the gain of reputation. Not for personal gain. Job 7:2. It says, a servant earnestly desires the shadow, but a hireling a reward for his work. The servant of God wants to be in the background and wants God in the forefront. He's eager to serve God and others. He wants others to succeed more than he's concerned about his own success. Somebody asked me just the other day, is it right to aspire to be a leader? It's right to aspire to greatness. And if you want to aspire to greatness, you have to aspire to serving. Or it's honorable to desire the office of a bishop. But in that context, in that very verse, it says, for he desires a good work. He desires a good service. We should aspire to service, eager to serve the Lord and others. And then another don't and another do, which we've talked about, and I'll just refer to. Neither as lords over God's heritage, but in samples to the flock. Not to lead with a sense of superiority and an authority base, but as an example. Follow my testimony, not my title. Follow my person, not my position. Now Peter, as he exhorted and as he taught, what was he doing? He was choosing to influence their minds and then their wills. And then their actions. He was not dominating them by a hierarchical command, but he was modeling the type of leadership shepherds should have. Exhortation, yes. Teaching, yes. But influencing the mind, the will, and then the action. This is the way we lead. Verse 4, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. And he's motivating here. When the chief shepherd shall appear, you'll receive a crown of glory. He's motivating him toward the chief shepherd. For the eternal reward. to do and give your life for that which is of eternal value. Remember about a year ago, I woke up around 2:30 in the morning, and my mind was just reviewing about the 20 years I spent in Europe, Middle East and Africa. And the question was coming very forcibly to my mind, Doug, what did you accomplish there that was of eternal value? And the only thing I could say is, well, Lord, a lot of conferences, a lot of training programs, a lot of RD meetings, a lot of trips, a lot of paperwork, but what is of eternal value? Well, Lord, I guess the only thing that's going to last is whatever, by your grace, you were able to do through me that was of a permanent value to one of your servants or one of your people. Because the only thing in eternity is going to be people. And that's why shepherd leadership is so important. These sheep are of eternal value. That's what John had in mind in 1 John 2:28, when he said, "And now, little children, abide in him, in Christ, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." The second coming of Jesus Christ is tremendous motivation for shepherd leaders, because they know the sheep are of eternal value. And when he comes, we're going to give an account to him as to how we cared for a sheep. And if the sheep are abiding in him and growing in him, we'll have confidence when he comes and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Shepherd leadership is of eternal value. We'll just quickly go on to the others. Second is nurture. And in Psalm 78, we already looked at that. 72, he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. John 21:15-17. Peter, do you love me? Feed my lambs. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Jesus is concerned for the lambs. He's concerned for the weak, the small, the young. He's concerned for their welfare. Not primarily for how much wool they're going to produce down the road, how much meat, how much reproduction are we going to get out of them? But he's concerned for them. And he says, if you love me, you'll be concerned for them. And you'll feed them. You'll nourish them. The second, that's verse 15. Verse 16, the word feed here is the Greek word pomino, which means to tend the flock, to manage the flock, to govern the flock. The first word in verse 15 has to do with feeding and nourishing. It's a different Greek word. And in the 17th verse, he goes back to that feeding and nourishing again. And so we see the dual role here of a shepherd. He is to manage, to govern, to lead, to guide, as we've said. But Jesus, in this passage, says twice he's to feed them with the word, to nourish them with food. Now, I don't know how it is here in the States, but I know overseas, our staff want to be fed with the word. They want shepherd leaders who will feed them with the Word of God. They don't have the kind of Bible churches you have and the Bible teaching. Some of them are in countries where there's a dearth to hear the Word of God, to be taught. And they need shepherd leadership. And it's the shepherd leader that the sheep respond to. The person who is interested in them, their care, their welfare, who's ministering to their soul, to their inner need. And this is the kind of spiritual leadership we must have in the NAVS and in the body of Christ. Okay? Protect. Acts 20, 28, and 29. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves. Acts 20, 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. The job of a shepherd is to be watchful. Proverbs 27, 23. Know thou the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds. The word overseer here means to look carefully into, to inspect. So the concept of evaluation when it comes to what does this person need? How can I help this person grow? How can I help them develop? Is biblical. An overseer looks carefully into, he inspects. And he is one who is appointed by the Holy Ghost. And I hope in our leadership, we have a sense that we are appointed by the Holy Ghost for the spiritual welfare and development of the people God has put in our care. And it's a God-given appointment and responsibility. Leadership must stem from God, His appointment and His enablement. And we must have a great sense that these are not our sheep. When Jesus said, "Do you love me? Feed whose sheep?" Did he say Peter's sheep? No. He said, "My sheep." I'll never forget when Doss came to Tokyo and he asked me to come up to Tokyo and he was trying to deal with this problem. And you know, Doss was my hero and I kind of thought, boy, now Doss, he'll solve this problem. And I asked Doss, I said, "Doss, what are you going to do?" And Doss said, "I don't know. I don't know what to do, Doug. There's one thing I'm concerned about. God is watching me to see how I take care of His men." Now that is spiritual leadership, an overseer of the Holy Ghost. And that's the way we've got to look at this. And I would just like to point out here in Acts 20, very briefly, that as you study this passage, you see Paul modeling a shepherd leader. Now, I don't know in the scriptures where Paul is referred to as a shepherd. But as I study 1 Thessalonians, I see, man, he's an intensive shepherd. And we can say, well, are we shepherds in the Navigators? Well, I sure think so. When we get that young convert, boy, we are watching for his soul. We're guiding him, nurturing him, protecting him, caring for him, to see he grows up and can multiply. And old Paul here, in verse 20, he showed them. He led by example. He taught them. He nourished them. the whole counsel of God. He warned them. And he even worked and earned money so he could support not only himself, but he could demonstrate and model to the church how to support the weak and the needy. He was a shepherd. And then lastly, care for the needs. And just quickly, over in Ezekiel 34, verse 4. Now this is, wow, this is a powerful verse. The Lord is speaking. In verse 2 he says, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks?" Then in verse 4, "The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have you ruled them." What a condemnation to the shepherds of Israel. And you see the heart of God. The Lord is my shepherd. You see his shepherd's heart here. And you see it in the positive as you read in verses 14 and 15. God speaking again, and he says, "I will feed them in a good pasture." 14, 15, and 16. "I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall be their fold. There shall they lie," there's that rest, "in a good field." See, he's not driving the sheep to produce more. He's leading the sheep to where they can be nourished and where they can grow. "And in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment." And prominent in biblical shepherding is caring for the weak and healing the wounded. The biblical shepherd retrieves rather than abandons. He restores rather than rejects. God's leaders, therefore, are to help, encourage, reconcile, and restore needy followers. And the needs are so great. And we are so limited. And that's the big problem. And in Acts 3:6, Peter says, "Well, neither silver and gold, but such as I have, I give unto you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." Peter realized he was limited in what he could do to help that man, but he had one thing that could help him: Christ. And there are limitations, and I just mentioned those. The limits in shepherding. One is in the area of ability. I just don't have the skill to help people with certain problems. I can bring them to the Lord, but I just don't have the skill or the knowledge. Or I don't have the capacity to maybe help everybody. So my shepherding is limited. But what I have, I can give. That's all. Secondly, my shepherding is limited by the receptivity of the people.
Christ said to the disciples, you come into a place, they reject you, shake off the dust of your feet and go on. Go where they do accept you, where they are receptive. Thirdly, my shepherding is limited because I may have prior God-given responsibilities. Peter came to Jesus, broke up his quiet time, said, the people are calling for you. Let's go back. We had a terrific ministry yesterday and they're really now ready and open to receive. And Jesus says, no, I've got to go on to where God is calling me, to other villages, to other places. Oftentimes God calls us to go on to others. Well, just to conclude then, shepherd leader is one who oversees the needs and the development of God's sheep. That's how I would define it. A shepherd leader is overseeing the needs and development of God's sheep. They're not a tool in his hands, but they are a channel through whom God can work. And he points them to God and nourishes them in God. Christ is our chief shepherd. We are his under shepherds.